Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now, my fellow Americans. This is the broadcast. What is it? The 22nd of April already? Yes, indeed. We're in the year of our Lord, 2020. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. The checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, they're brilliant, and they're one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution, as you know, and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We talked about reports that many have had the coronavirus with no symptoms. And really, I submit to you that the mainstream press has been completely dishonest. But so has Fauci. And literally, so has the administration. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Things are changing by the day. And did they ever tell you that many have had the coronavirus with literally no symptoms? Okay, we're being, in my opinion, lied to about the origins of the coronavirus, the intensity of the coronavirus. They have literally remade America into a socialist mecca over the coronavirus. Who's they? All of them. Donald Trump is involved big time. He's done a lot of good, but there's great, great concern as well. President Trump consults faith leaders on the phases of reopening. That's good news. DeMuth wisely points out, unlike Bush and Obama, Trump has succeeded in the crisis by decentralizing power and authority. To some degree, that's true. To some degree, he's concentrated power on the back end. We'll get into it as the broadcast unfolds. There's a report Donald Trump admin may redirect the WHO's funding to Samaritan's Purse and the Red Cross. Again, if we're going to spend that money, I'd rather have it go to Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross than the WHO. The World Health Organization, that's for sure. But I'd prefer that we don't spend the money at all. After all, it's not theirs to give up there at the federal government, is it? Now, Lady Gaga and Beyonce, I guess they led celebrities in what they call a coronavirus concert fundraising, $55 million for the WHO. Well, that just proves the private sector can handle it just fine, and we don't need government money going to the WHO, huh? And I'd prefer them use their private money for these expenditures than government money. So to some degree, I praise these actors and actresses and performers. At least they're doing their own money. But Kurt wisely pointed out that, you know what, a lot of times these people get money on the back end. Big handouts go to the celebrities, and then the celebrities kick back to the WHO, and it goes round and round and round. And boy, howdy, is Kurt spot on with that observation. I'll tell you that right now, and it's a great point. So in that these celebrities are getting government money, I reject that as well. I don't want the government money to go to celebrities or the WHO or really to the Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross. Again, it's a preference. Do I want money going to sex ed? No, I don't. But if they're going to spend any money on sex ed, let at least some of it or all of it be on abstinence only and then appropriate relationships after marriage, right? We live in a tough time to analyze what's going on. When do you back something? When don't you back something? What's the real truth? And we try to teach to the ideal, and then we try to live in the real. And that's why we would push to say, at least this money can go to Samaritan's Purse. At least this money can go to the Red Cross. At least it's privately administered. At least there's good Christians involved who will have, in my opinion, much better stewardship of the funds. Right? Donald Trump, quote, coronavirus exposed dangers of the supply chains from China. Boy, howdy, is the president correct on that one? Amen to that. We need to make American goods and American supplies, and we need to be a nationalist nation. It doesn't mean we hate the world. It just means we want to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining. We want to have provident living. We want to be reliant on ourselves first. Maybe we can help those around the world. Maybe we can be a light on a hill, huh? It doesn't mean we have to hate everybody or down everybody else. But if we're strong, we can help others, right? South Carolina to reopen public beaches. retail stores. That happened yesterday, and that's good news. A lot of criticism going to the South Carolina governor, but I say spot on and necessary. Dr. Deborah Brooks, the doctor with President Trump and his administration, even defending Jacksonville, Florida beach reopening, defending the officials there. Good news for that. Good for Dr. Deborah Brooks. Judge blocks Democrat Kansas governor's order limiting church gatherings to 10 people. Again, good news. Rarely do we get to credit a judge with something positive. There are constitutional rights here, ladies and gentlemen, and bureaucrats don't have the authority to overstep their bounds, now do they? And the Kansas governor got reminded big time of that reality check thanks to the judge. Governor Greg Abbott on reopening. Texas is the economic engine of America. I don't know that I agree with him on that, but it's certainly a big part of it. And good for Greg Abbott and the state of Texas trying to reopen. Walmart to hire 50,000 more workers after already filling 150,000 jobs on the coronavirus. So that's 200,000 for Walmart. And with all the closings of businesses and everything else, that's at least a little bit of silver lining and good news, huh? San Clemente, California skateboard park. I guess the government rolled in 37 tons of sand to block the skaters from skating. What a shame. What an intentional act of destruction. Shame on the government down there, the city government of San Clemente, California. What are they thinking? I mean, skateboarding is a social distancing practicing exercise. It's good for the kids to get sunlight and fresh air and everything else, right? What are they doing? But governments, 9 times out of 10, sadly, are destructive if it's not the constitutional, proper, limited government replete with checks and balances, right? That's the reality check, is it not? Police hunt down and find a man lying alone on an Italian beach and arrest him. I guess this poor guy was violating the stay-at-home order, and he was alone on the beach, and they had to stop him from, well, what was he doing wrong? Violating the order? Maybe. Does he have a right to travel and be free and move about? Or should that be restricted all in the name of the coronavirus? He wasn't bothering anybody. He was on the beach by himself. He wasn't infecting anybody or getting anybody else in any trouble. That was our One Liberty Roundtable Live Hour 2, brought to you in part by Raw Honey. Delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. You can do so via the email venue, Kurt at LibertyRoundtable.com, or you can call or text 801-669-2211 and ask about the multiple kinds of raw honey, or flavors of raw honey, whatever you want to say. Different produced raw honeys, if you will. Email Liberty or Kurt at LibertyRoundtable.com, C-U-R-T, or call 801-669-2211 or text 801-669-2211. Or finally, if you want to use the website, localhoneyman.com. Second hour, we talked about a teen who walked 3 miles a day to the library, got accepted at 12 colleges. That's fantastic news. Proves that society in America, the upward mobile American dream, is still obtainable. Fantastic news, by the way. We also talked about an Uber driver that raised $12,000 to feed hungry nurses during the coronavirus pandemic. That's phenomenal news as well. We talked about a 10-year-old, that's right, a 10-year-old kid, donates more than 200 gift cards to the Missouri police officers, saying we appreciate your hard work and service and being in harm's way for us. Great news on that as well. We talked about a kind-hearted veteran, donates hand sanitizer to people in need during the pandemic. Great news there. See, it's good people stepping out everywhere doing good things. Tell your neighbor, spread the word. Maybe we can have copycats, and maybe random acts of kindness can just roll forth from the greatest nation on the planet to everybody everywhere. Why walking matters now more than ever. Our upright gait is not just a feature of what it means to be human, but it also really helps our brains and our bodies work better and that kind of stuff. And they say it's more important now than at other times. And, you know, I kind of asked why that was. But thinking through it, you know, my opinion why is because, you know what? There's a lot of sickness now. And if we get out and walk and get fresh air and get sunlight and exercise, and man, it can really help us ward off that coronavirus. Probably better than the drugs, the vaccines, and any other proposal that they're giving out, right? Fresh air, sunlight, reach out to people, wave at neighbors, tell people you love them. Maybe while you're walking around, you do random acts of kindness, like these listed above folks we just talked about. And then we say, can music boost your immune system? Kurt Crosby even busted out and quoted a country song, folks. Wow, that's pretty neat stuff. Yes, indeed, music can boost your immune system, and so can walking. and so can good air and sunshine and, wow, sleep, good nutrition. Florida kennel empty for the first time in history. They say all dogs adopted. That's great news, too, in my opinion. Care for each other, care for the animals, good people doing good things. We also talked about this anonymous donor gifts $2,200 stimulus to a Colorado family in need. So people are even taking their stimulus money and doing good with it. Now, again, I'm not really for the stimulus money. I don't believe we ought to have a socialist redistribution. The government shut down the economy, which they didn't have the authority to do. They don't have the authority to steal money from everybody and redistribute the wealth either, do they? But they did. But at least good people are doing good things with the money in some cases. And we got to highlight those cases and try to encourage more good, huh? China tries and fails to get Wisconsin to pass a law praising Beijing on the coronavirus. Just insanity. I'm glad they tried and failed, though. You say, what, Sam? Why would Wisconsin do that? Well, there's cities that are sister cities, if you will. And so there's a lot of relationships that are, well, in good times make sense. You want to be kind and learn about other cultures and things. But now it kind of backfires in the coronavirus era, doesn't it? We also talked about Tucker Carlson to the agriculture lobby. If you want workers, pay U.S. wages. And I remind Tucker, it isn't quite that simple, sir. Why don't we get rid of the regulations? Why don't we shut down the agriculture department, huh? All right, we'll talk more in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, we talked about a poor tennis player that's against vaccines, and he says it might just flat out ruin his athletic career. They want everybody to take the jab, or you might not have a future in tennis. Sad tale to tell in America where we believe in, quote, pro-choice. Oh, that's only for murdering babies, not for deciding you don't want to take the jab, I guess, huh? If you don't take the jab, you're just kind of putting the whole societal race at risk, aren't you? Okay, that's what they want you to believe. They lie, folks. Matt Drudge fires back at President Trump. Says that his web traffic is at record levels. I don't know why Trump is always in a battle with somebody. I just don't get it. But it keeps him in the media, that's for sure. But you know what? Why battle Trump? Why battle Drudge? Why are they even in a feud anyway? And you know what? What's the truth? Is Drudge's traffic down or is it way up? I don't know the truth. I don't have the web numbers. But I don't know why two conservatives would be battling it out anyway, isn't there? I mean, it reminds me of you know, Mitt Romney and Donald Trump. What's the battle even about? I mean, it's a waste of time. I don't really get it. But again, there's always a feud somewhere. How about if we step aside for those feuds and say, hey, Drudge has his rights and his opinions and his beliefs, and he's entitled to them. And so is President Trump. It's interesting. Just interesting. All right, oil futures contract expiring. Turns out that oil prices are plunging to below $1 a barrel, they say. Some say now they went quite negative, but understand that it didn't really go negative in the real world. It just went negative in the futures world, Kurt. And that might be a great conversation for our buddy Brian Rust for tomorrow, but just quickly on this, it's the last story that we have to cover from yesterday anyway. But look, you got the petrodollar, Kurt. Remember that. So this is the dollars around the world where we play games with our currency. Instead of having constitutional money, we have this fake fiat, you know, Federal Reserve note money controlled by private bankers, a cartel of thug bankers. And then we literally manipulate the whole world with it. And so you got these futures dollars. What does that mean? Well, these futures dollars are tied to future oil. They're called petrodollars. And so the future says there's too much oil on the market, no place to put it. What are we going to do? And then they talk about OPEC, the big drug cartel. I mean, the oil cartel. Okay, and then you look at all this and you go, hey, President Trump's going to take advantage of this to fill up United States reserves. So to President Trump, it's an opportunity to do well on the downturn. But nevertheless, if we didn't have fake money, if we didn't try to control the oil around the world with that fake money, we wouldn't be in this discussion in the first place, Kurt.
I think you're right.
All right. Anything else on the oil piece you brought up yesterday?
Well, you know, at least what you said about having, you know, a big glut of it, basically, and the glut's caused because you have, you know, these big operations, whether they're in America or other places, that continue to pump it out, even though the earth, they told us, was running out of oil because we had this, quote, fossil fuel, which was a lie.
Now, they said that back in the 70s, they lied too, right?
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. And so you have all this oil that's, you know, there for us. And yet when you have this lockdown of, you know, complete world economies, then you have a whole lot less usage of this product. And so then when you have a whole bunch of it, the price should go down. And it is going down. I don't think it's going down fast enough in the places where, you know, you could.
Well, hold on. The oil's going down because there's nowhere to put the barrels of oil that are raw crude. Gas prices aren't going down fast enough, right?
Okay, Sam.
Well, I just want to make people understand when you say it's not going down, you're talking about the price at the pump, right?
Well, the price where people can use the product, you know, if they can't really go out and get you know, a few barrels of it and make their own, but if these people you know, they truly did a market that was really based on supply and demand, you know, instead of all these futures and all these kind of things, then when they'd see the huge glut of a product, then, you know, the normal thing you do in any business is if you have a whole bunch of something and you're not selling it, you got to lower the price. So you do.
That's exactly right. I just wanted people to understand the difference when you see the oil futures. It's just paper stuff. When you see crude, you know, barrels, and people saying we don't know where to put the barrels of crude, they're talking about the raw oil before it gets turned into gas. And I wanted people to understand the difference of the futures versus the oil, you know, barrels of oil versus the gas pump that you and I see. There's a big supply chain along the way, and a lot of manufacturing or production or whatever you want to call it that has to take place along that way. But in a free market, your point is we should see that transparently right through that supply chain. And I think that's your point, and I think it's a good one. I just want people to understand the difference of what we're talking about, Kurt. That's all. I think a lot of people aren't really familiar with stock markets and the futures markets and how they work and stuff like that. It takes a lot of study to understand some of those things. All right, that's the end of the recap. Yesterday's show still available online at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Lockdowns may have been unnecessary, says Rush Limbaugh. Kurt?
Well, you know, and he's... this is a very good point, I believe. We've talked about it I think there's a lot better ways of doing things, but most of the time you learn, I guess you could say the hard way, and, you know, maybe this will be a good learning opportunity for us all.
Amen to that. I've been telling Russ this for months, though, right? I've been pushing back on the economy shutdown for quite a while now, and I'm glad Rush came to the party. Better late than never, Rush, but you're spot on right. And again, what you got to think about isn't whether it's, quote, necessary or not. And this is kind of the reason that I highlight this. What you got to think of is it constitutional or not? Do they have authority to do this or not? Is it right and moral and honorable for them to do this or not? And so that's kind of where, you know, I give the pushback in the beginning. I don't know about the necessary part. I just know that they don't have authority to lock us all down and prevent our movement and to literally shut down all of our jobs by force, by government mandate or edict or whatever you want to call it. And so that's where I gave the pushback from the beginning. And that's why we got to look at it based on principle, based on the Constitution, based on the rule of law, and based on checks and balances. But anyway, good for Rush. Anything else on this one?
Not that I can see.
All right, here comes the partisanship with the next story, Kurt.
Well, you know, there was this talk a while back about the delay in the checks, I guess, or the payments or whatever, and that there were some headlines that basically intoned that the president wanted to, you know, slow, he wanted to have his name on everything, you know, like he was wanting to show off and say it was his fault that he got money for people. And I didn't think that was right at the time, but, you know, now we're seeing these headlines and stories that basically saying, that Mr. Mnuchin, it was his idea to put the president's name on the stimulus checks. And, you know, so in other words, any hold up caused by putting the president's name on there that the previous stories were saying wasn't really, it wouldn't have been caused by the president. It would have been caused by Mr. Mnuchin if that held up anything. You know, I just think it's probably mostly just fake news.
Yeah, the debate on the fake news is long and complicated with this story, in my opinion, because I agree that it wasn't President Trump, it was probably Mnuchin. However, I don't know that Mnuchin has a constitutional position in our government in the first place. We shouldn't be handing out checks in the first place, and if we didn't hand out checks in the first place, we wouldn't be debating whose name would be on it. The idea that President Trump is delaying people getting their socialist handout is a different discussion altogether. But I will agree on one point that Mnuchin makes, Kurt. I don't really agree that the Democrats are turning the coronavirus political. I think the Democrats, the Republicans are. The swamp is for sure. And they certainly have motive and they certainly have a dog in this fight. But I do agree that it's a important symbol to the public. And believe it or not, I think a lot of people who like President Trump, Kurt, are going to literally cash their check and then maybe have something put on the back of the check or something like that, or that would say, hey, this check is no good anymore. Do something to make it inert or not usable anymore. But then a lot of people might even frame the check, Kurt, or put it in a scrapbook or something and say, hey, I lived during the coronavirus, and this is what happened in this time in history. And I do think there is something to that point that Mnuchin makes, Kurt.
Very good, Sam.
Any other comment on this one? What do you think? It's a complicated issue. I don't really like the pointing at the Democrats, though. Not that I think a lot of the Democrats are great. I just think there's a lot of Republican swamp monsters just as willing to get along and go along and do the same thing. You know, is Mnuchin a Democrat, for instance? Is,
yep.
You know, he is?
Well, that's what I've heard. I haven't really checked his voter ID.
Right. But really, would it be the Democrats or the administration? Isn't Mnuchin part of the administration?
I was talking about the, you know, insider media, the swamp media, not so much the Democrats or the Republicans.
I'm lost on the headline versus the media, but let's talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
parts of Southern California rattled just hours ago by a magnitude 3.7 earthquake that struck Los Angeles County. It struck just around midnight Pacific time in the View Park Windsor Hills area near Inglewood, about 10 miles from downtown L.A. Although there were no immediate reports of damage or injuries, the Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has tweeted that the fire department's been activated to conduct its routine survey of all the city's assets for possible damages. The Senate's passed it. The House now expected to take up a small business relief bill. The bipartisan measure would pump more than $300 billion more dollars into a small business loan fund that quickly ran dry. The bill also includes $75 billion for hospitals, $25 billion to expand coronavirus testing. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, no question. Your product's a great product. I mean, it's very, very good. I own a couple of businesses, so I'm on the go a lot. There's no doubt that the energy level increased. And again, your product is very, very good, and I couldn't live without it, to tell you the truth. I thank you for your time. Thank you for the information. And when you talk to Dr. Howard, give him my best and tell him he's got a great, great product.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The percentage of U.S. adults who evaluate their lives well enough to be considered thriving has dropped in a new survey. John Clemens with more.
That's a survey results from Gallup as they question 80,000 Americans as to how they rate their lives. Thriving, struggling, or suffering. Dan Witters of Gallup tells us the survey was taken March 21st to April 5th.
What we have seen now just over the course of the last month is a really unprecedented decline, because we have plummeted from up around 55%, which was where we were hovering last fall in 2019, now down to 48.8% and falling.
I'm John Clemens.
This could be another day of tornadoes in the deep south. Forecasters say a new storm system is expected to generate severe weather from Texas to the Carolinas. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so we're talking about a headline, ladies and gentlemen, that says this. New evidence suggests Democrats turning coronavirus political. Mnuchin says it was my idea to put President Trump's names on the stimulus checks, and it's a terrific symbol to the American public. I agree with the terrific symbol to the American public of how we got through a tough time and in history, remembering the leadership of a president who focused on the checks and balances and decentralized power in many ways and relied on the governors and deregulated and done a lot of good things. I marked that point in history, too. So I get that, but I don't. Who wrote this headline, Kurt?
That's the WorldNet Daily piece, as far as I can tell.
Okay, and you're down in the WorldNet Daily over this, or the Democrats, or the media,
no,
or who?
What I'm saying is, here's what the headline reads: Mnuchin, in other words, he said it. My idea to put Trump's name on stimulus checks. And then it's a subheadline, it's a terrific symbol to the American public. So a while back, we saw headlines basically blaming the president for holding up the stimulus checks so that he could have his name on them. And I didn't think that sure sounded like him, but, hey, that was the report then. So now we see that Mnuchin says that it was his name or his idea to put the president's name on the stimulus checks. Now, I don't know that that means that it was held up because of it, but I'm just simply saying that I believe that this is a little bit more truth that you can find if you just look a little farther and find out they were lying to us before.
Yeah, and I would say that it hasn't held it up, Kurt. Most people got their checks via digital transfer anyways, and most people got their checks as fast as President Trump promised they would get them, and the media mocked President Trump on that too, and now people know the truth. So this is a great follow-up on the truth for this, and I agree with Mnuchin that it is a good symbol for the American people to remember who the president was at a given time in history and what was done and by whom and how, and I think that's really important stuff personally. So there you have it. I agree that the mainstream press, but they want to look at a chance to attack President Trump at every turn. And I think a lot of the attacks happened, in the press briefings, and they were, saying you're going to delay checks and you're going to, that's where they waste time in the press briefings. That's why I wish President Trump would do a talk show where with the President Trump could deal with the people, not with these, in my opinion, hate-filled, politically driven press members in the first place. But that's just my two cents. All right. And I don't really like the Democrats' idea. The Republicans are making this political, too. There's a lot of Republicans that are very political about this and similar in focus. And they're all swamp monsters, as Kurt likes to point out. And really, it's not us against the Democrats or the Republicans. It's us against those who are swamp monsters. That's for sure. All right. Beyond stockpiling, they say, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, the this headline, basically, WorldNet Daily is bringing this. Says, here's what Americans are buying as pandemic drags on. Subheadline, shoppers shift their focus to entertainment products such as books and games. So, they're not that focused now on the toilet paper and, other stuff like that. So now they're, looking at other things to spend their money on. As far as I understand, Netflix has seen a big increase in purchasers as well. Do you have any recommendations on what you'd suggest people spend their hard-earned money on, Sam?
Well, I think that what Americans personally should do is work on getting out of debt. They should work on spending their money, in my opinion, on preparedness items, meaning how many Americans have a 72-hour kit. If you need to leave your home or shelter in place, can you just pull out your 72-hour kit and not have a panic? These run on the stores that we had when the coronavirus, do you call it the coronavirus hoax, Kurt? They want to call it the pandemic. I don't see that we have a pandemic according to the pandemic definitions, but that's a whole nother I don't want to step in it discussion, I guess. But I look at this and I go, everybody panicked, and I'd like people to look a little bit and say, hey, let's do a little bit of, I know they call it hoarding, but I disagree. It's not hoarding either. Let's look at this and say, let's do a little bit of preparedness. Let's do a little bit of provident living. Let's work on getting out of debt. Let's work on developing a little bit of a store in your home to where you don't just need, my roll of toilet paper will end tomorrow. I need more. And I think what that'll lead to, Kurt, is a lot more preparedness and a lot less panic. And I think that would be a wise move with your money. I do support buying some books and buying some entertainment. I would suggest healthy, wholesome entertainment. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of great podcasts out there for free that can take your time. There's a lot of inexpensive services. Hallmark Movies Now is one of my favorites. LivingScriptures.com is another one of my favorites. Those are the two that I primarily pay for when it comes to entertainment. I'm not as on the Netflix and the Hulu and the other places as many, but I like a lot of the LivingScriptures.com. I like a lot of the HallmarkMoviesNow.com stuff. I think those are tremendous sites with a lot of great content. I think that you got to be very careful with your entertainment money. When it comes to books, there's a lot of free books you can read as well. There's a lot of inexpensive books you can read. For example, I think that the Bible and the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, are two great books you can start with that are free, and I'd like to turn people back to the scriptures. I think that's where people get converted to Christ. That's where people learn about keeping the commandments and what those commandments are and the blessings associated with doing so and the loss of blessings and the results or consequences of not doing so. I think people can spend a lot of time together with inexpensive games and family. I think that's a lot of good. Personally, I like a lot of business books to read that I've been reading. I like the book that we interviewed the author of just relatively recently, probably 3 months ago or so, about Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox. I think that's a great book to understand who he really was and how he saved the American Revolution. I think there's great, great books about the bulletproof George Washington for younger readers. I think the Constitution's free to read, and that's something that you ought to study quite a bit. I think there's a lot of good things we can and should be doing here. For example, there's a lady that I know. Her name is Michelle Jorgensen, and she's a well-known natural whole-body dentist. And what a whole-body dentist is, if you don't know, is it's somebody who believes in dentistry, but they don't just look at your mouth or your tooth. They look at your whole body and say, the mouth has the ability to really make a difference on your health, from infections to it goes on and on. And so she's a whole body dentist, and she's a dental surgeon. And she, anyway, the point is that in the coronavirus, her offices are shut down because they just, you know, can't really see patients under normalcy due to government, you know, mandates and stuff like that. So she's basically taken to writing a book about gardening and about seeds and about making bread and about natural, healthy, nutritious meals. And she's really turned to a lot of good stuff. Well, she's been putting out some stuff in her blog and some inexpensive books where you can read and study and build your own gardens and make some meals and recipes. And she's been doing some webinars where people can have a Q&A about whole body health. There's a lot of these people dispensing a lot of this information for free. So you can refresh your skills in math or English or whatever you want to work on, even as an adult, that'll just benefit and bless your life. You've got all kinds of places where you can take inexpensive classes on religion or any subject you want to via, oh, what's that website called, Curtis? One of my favorites. It's free education. Khan Academy?
Khan Academy. Yeah.
Okay, you can go to Khan Academy and literally study on anything you want. You can listen to podcasts on all kinds of things. I mean, there's so much to do with your time. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get out and take a walk and get fresh air with your family and with your loved ones. You can find ways to serve others. There's just so much ministering we can do for one another. And so I'm not against spending a little bit of your money on entertainment, but I would try to redirect a little bit, in my opinion, what your focus is. Preparedness is good. I don't think it's a stockpiling discussion. I don't like those words. To me, it's a preparedness. It's a provident living discussion. And if I have, you know, 50 rolls of toilet paper in my storage room in my basement, is that stockpiling? Or is that just saying, hey, I'm prepared. I got a large family. And you know what? We're not going to panic and go make the shelves bare in the store over teepee. We're just not going to do it. Okay? Have a little bit of food. Have a little bit of supplies. Have a little bit of money for an emergency. Make sure that your cars are full of gas, especially when we say, oh man, gas is inexpensive. It's not as inexpensive as it should be, but it's less expensive than it's been for a long time. You know, drive your car from full to half empty as opposed to, you know, half empty to empty. And keep your cars full of gas should you need to flee for any reason. You know, get out of debt. Help others get out of debt. Do nice things for people. That's where I would spend my time and my money and my efforts personally, Kurt. To answer your question. And there's nothing wrong with some good, clean, inexpensive entertainment, though. All right, when we get back, a Harvard professor's in the news. I guess he's talking about a little different thing than I am, huh, Kurt?
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here you are again, and it's Liberty Roundtable on your favorite listening device, however that happens to be in these days.
By the way, isn't that a cool thing to say, Kurt? How many? It just shows how many ways you can listen now. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. There are a number of them. Anyway, WorldNet Daily's got this piece. The headline reads, Harvard Prof, that's short for professor, calls for total ban on homeschooling. Leave it to Harvard, you know, good guys. They're dangerous, he says, for parents to educate their own kids, and he fears the loss of government indoctrination. This guy seems to be like about as far off from me as possible, Sam. I guess he says the risks of homeschooling, you know, he's quite worried about it because he says... Well, heck, I mean, you know, these parents would be, they can now keep their children at home in the name of homeschooling, free from any real scrutiny as to whether or how they're educating their children.
You know my response to this, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Count your many blessings, name them one by one, Professor.
Yeah. Says they want... to isolate their children from ideas and values central to our democracy.
Well, since we don't have a democracy, you ignorant thug, I'm grateful we can do that.
They said they're determined to keep their children from exposure to views that might enable autonomous choice about their future lives. You know, it's just amazing how...
Wait a minute. So if the government controls what my kids think, they're more autonomous than if I... I'm involved in what
they
think?
Yeah, because, see, they fit into the world, Sam. I mean,
like they think pro-choice means murder, that kind of stuff? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and they showed a picture, I guess, had an illustration that featured a homeschooled child behind bars in a house while other children are playing freely outside. One wall of the house is composed of a stack of books labeled Reading, Writing, Arithmetic, and the Bible. Yeah, certainly wouldn't want that kind of evil stuff.
Now, by the way, shouldn't we sue those folks that are allowing the kids outside there because of the free-range nature of the, you know...
Good point.
I don't know what you call it, illustration?
Yep, they say, or I guess this is happens to be a lady at Harvard, but anyway, I don't know if you use that word, the term loosely, but says she
Shame
argues
on
that one benefit of sending children to school at age 4 or 5 is that teachers are mandated reporters, required to alert authorities to evidence of child abuse or neglect.
Well, I got one good news piece about this story. At least she's candid about the truth of how hostile and evil and satanic and deceptive and immoral and destructive the system really is. At least she's highlighting that for us very well, Kurt.
Good point. He says teachers and other school personnel constitute the largest percentage of people who report to Child Protective Services, whereas not one of the 50 states requires that homeschooling parents be checked for prior reports of child abuse. Even those convicted of child abuse, she adds, could still just decide, I'm going to take my kids out of school and keep them at home.
But if you're like me, and I'm never going to put my kids in there in the first place, so I don't need to take them out, Kurt.
One of our, amen. One of our main fears of homeschooling appears to be Christianity.
Whoa.
And she says state legislators here in the United States have been hesitant to restrict the practice because of the Homeschooling Legal Defense Association, a conservative Christian homeschool advocacy group, which she describes as small, well-organized, and overwhelmingly powerful politically. During the last 30 years,
we're small, but we're super organized and we're super powerful. And you know what her goal is to try to make us sound insignificant by that small word. But what it tells me is, folks, if we want to restore the republic, all we need are, repeat those words, Kurt, all we need are, colon.
Says small, well-organized, and overwhelmingly powerful politically.
That's what we need to be, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why Liberty Roundtable and other shows like this on lovingliberty.net and many other places are so critical and so valuable, Kurt. We're small. We're insignificant nobodies. Let them say that all they want. But we, what do they say again? Well-organized, powerful politically.
Overwhelmingly powerful politically.
Hey, Kurt, you want to be overwhelmingly powerful, buddy?
I try to be.
Kurt Crosby is small, ladies and gentlemen, but overwhelmingly powerful politically. That's a tremendous, interesting statement about us, isn't it? And I think it highlights the truth of how important our little efforts really are. A lot of people mock our efforts, and they're like, oh, Sam, your efforts are so small, they don't even matter. And my response is, oh, well, this lady seems to think it matters, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was looking out last evening as, you know, the day was kind of winding down as I was on the corner selling the raw honey. And I was sitting in the van looking out the window, and there was we got about 9 different Make America Great Again hats there and that kind of stuff. And then there's a sign that says free Bibles and free Book of Mormons, free Ten Commandments coins, you know. Anyway, I heard a honk, and so I looked out the window, and I see this guy, and he's, you know, flipping me off. So instead of me, you know, flipping him off or whatever, I just waved to him real nice, like I was an old man that couldn't tell that he was flipping me off, you know, like I was thinking he was, doing a nice gesture toward me. And so I...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, can I just remind you, by their fruits, shall you know them? Okay?
I just thought it was funny because I could see the guy he kept kind of trying to show me what he was really doing, and I kept waving back to him real nice.
And he just thinks that ignorant guy, old dude, doesn't get it. That old redneck in a cowboy hat selling honey just doesn't understand, does he?
Yeah, that's right. He was just thinking that dumb old guy.
Well, we're told to return good for evil, Kurt, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what I figured. It was about the best thing I could do in that case, you know. But anyway, he's figuring I'm ruining the world, and I'm thinking, you know.
Well, you and your Nazi Trump flag.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. That's right.
By the way, though,
I didn't have that up right then.
This just gives you a flavor of who Kurt Crosby really is in his real personal life and what he does and stuff like that. And I think it's a tremendous example of how we ought to behave, folks. How we ought to, you know, we don't need to melt down and fight. And see, I wish President Trump would do that when people attack him. He'd just smile and wave back. He'd just kind of pull a Kurt Crosby or a Melania. And that's kind of the other interesting thing is, hey, you know what? We covered President Trump and highlight the good things that Trump does to the best of our ability. We do express concerns from time to time because we believe, you know, in the ideal, in the constitutional world we live in the light on a hill world we live in, we ought to kind of highlight how we would do it differently. But I bring this up because we don't have a lot of criticism for Melania, Kurt. I think she's phenomenal and does a ton of good. And I think since she's been in office, we've pretty much had 90% praise for her. And if President Trump starts to behave a little more like Kurt Crosby and Melania, then we'll have a whole lot more praise for the president, won't we, Kurt?
You know, and that's one of the things that I see when I watch. I do take the time, like last night's or yesterday's briefing. By the way, I heard the whole briefing on the station owned by Doug Barton. I guess he just puts it on you know, 6:50 a.m. Just puts it on right in the middle of the country music. And I thought, man, that's pretty impressive. I was trying to find where, because I had been listening on one station, then it ended because it had the news or whatever. And so I was trying to find where else I could hear it. And I thought, that's pretty impressive that he does that, you know.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just because, by the way, you can hear the thing the way you need it.
Yeah, why don't you give us the summary? And then I'll tell you about something I hope you listened to, but you probably didn't have time for.
You know, the summary, at least for me, was that, you know, states are opening up and good things are happening. And it's sad with any death. We mourn with those people. This is just me and, you know, doing my best to analyze what the president had to say. We mourn with any of those people. So I, you know, at least when I listen to the president there, I feel like he's pretty much following what Melania would say, being best and all that kind of stuff. The times when I hear him later, if there are some of those silly reporters trying to upset him, you know, then he you know, he fights back and he points out that they're basically doing a dumb question and it's not helpful. And, you know, but he could just do kind of like I did when the guy was trying to flip me off, and he could just wave dumbfounded or, you know, pretend like he was, you know, to him and move on. But I haven't seen him do that too much.
All right. How long was the press briefing?
It's only like an hour with everything.
It's super short. So it like, well, Ron Paul did like a 3-4 minute. He does this every week, by the way. He puts it on a phone line where you can dial up and listen to it or whatever. And I think there's places on the internet that you could find and read the transcript as well. Did you hear Ron Paul's latest summary? This is where I think that President Trump should add Ron Paul, former well-known congressman, former presidential candidate, well-known physician, who, in my opinion, highlights the truth of what's going on regarding the coronavirus. Did you hear that, Kurt?
No, I didn't, but I'd recommend that Ron Paul and Judge Roy Moore both be added to the president's council, if you will, you know.
I'm for that, too.
Be a good group.
But, you know, hey, Trump doesn't really focus on Roy Moore too much. I don't know if he's kind to Ron Paul or not. He works quite a bit with Rand Paul, and I commend the president when he does, because Rand Paul is a physician, and Rand Paul's right as well. But the information coming out of the administration and the information coming out of Rand and Ron Paul are a little different, Kurt. Have you noticed that? I wish they could.
What's that, Sam?
Well, the difference, yeah. But what, between what Ron Paul's saying and what the president's saying.
I don't know for sure what.
Well,
what
I'll
those
play this next
things,
hour, and then you
how
can,
they differ. Yeah.
Well, I'll let you hear the, because you know the Ron Paul thing. If you have time for it, then you'll know the differences. When we get back at the next hour, what we'll do is we'll highlight that and play Ron Paul's comments, because I think they're tremendously important. And I think that the American people really need to understand what Ron is saying here, because I believe he's really highlighting the truth. We'll do that at the top of the next hour. We'll play Ron Paul's comments. And then we'll also talk about this incredible story about this Chicago phlebotomist that I guess is now speaking out pretty boldly. It's a phlebotomist working at a Chicago hospital, and they talked about what their research and what their evidence from their, I don't know if you call it testing or analysis or whatever you want to call it, is. And it goes along with what Ron Paul is saying pretty dang close. Did the president bring up this Chicago phlebotomist, Kurt?
I didn't hear anybody bring that up.
But you, right?
Well, you know, you did.
Well, I got it from you, though, so you brought it up, really. I'm just helping support the effort here. Who gave us this piece? It's a great one.
I'll have to look way down.
All right, find that out. It's a great piece. I want to give credit to who authored this piece and is telling us about it. I don't know how to get this to the president, but if we could get Ron Paul's comments and this phlebotomist's comments to the president, we might change the game, folks. We'll talk about it next hour. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Live and on-demand radio as at libertyroundtable.com or lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Donate today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.